Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We've got Clay Travis. He joins us every Friday on the show, normally at 11 a.m. It's presented by the Home Loan Expert. Clay, though, kind enough, generous enough to join us now. I know he's on vacation, and he's going to join us today for the next two segments. Clay, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you doing this while you're on vacation.
Yeah, no worries. I got a great view sitting on. I just finished writing my Friday mailbag. I'm sitting out on an incredible porch here in Vail, Colorado. I know it's like 115 degrees in Nashville or something like that, it feels like. And it's a nice 75 degrees, good breeze. I've never been up here before. It's awesome to be in the mountains in the summer. This is kind of the goal.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Clay. It feels outside today like a very hot day, and you're going to combine that by putting a quilt over your head. That's what the humidity feels like in Nashville today.
I'm born and raised in Nashville, so I've lived through many of those days, and that's one reason why when we started talking about what we were going to do on vacation, it gets to mid to late July, I kind of want to get away and get a little bit of a break on the weather.
Clay, I went there last summer. It's awesome. I really enjoyed Denver. We went to Boulder also. And being in Boulder, I mean, you're up there now with the scenery, with the air, with the cool temperatures. I remember like going for a jog one morning. It was 55 degrees in the middle of July in the morning in Boulder. And I see that campus there, and I think from a sports perspective, why is Colorado not better? I know they were great under Bill McCartney, but this seems like it could be a very desirable program if you had the right coaches in place.
Yeah, I think it's about getting people on the campus, right? I mean, and then I think, you know, fan support factors in as well. But look, I mean, there are relatively few places I've visited and been like, I could see myself living here. And obviously there's a difference between visiting in July and visiting in February or something. But, you know, I even looked at the weather because I was like, how much difference is the temperature really between, you know, Nashville and Denver, for instance? And it's not really that different, right? You know, Denver has 300 days of sunshine a year. And in the winter, obviously, they get snow, but it doesn't stay consistently frigid. It's not like you're in Detroit or Minneapolis or, you know, a place where it's degrees sometimes. So it's one of the few places I visited in the United States and thought, you know, if I ever had to live in a different part of the country, this is one that I'd be intrigued to consider.
So Jim Harbaugh was asked about Urban Meyer, and he gave one of the shortest answers he gave at Big Ten Media Day, but he said Urban Meyer's had a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows everywhere he's been. Now, this got a lot of play, and people were saying it was controversial, and Jim Harbaugh came back and said, there's nothing controversial about what I said. It's the truth about Urban Meyer, and he's dead right.
Yeah.
Why is this a controversy? This is who Urban Meyer is. He wins and he sets places ablaze.
I think one, it shows how few coaches actually say anything of interest, right? So we just had SEC Media Days. We just had Big 12 Media Days. I think we're in the middle of Big 10 Media Days right now. And this is the only quote that I remember making news, right? Like legitimate news. And there's been, what, probably 100,000 words said by coaches as we get ready for college football. And I think this is always emblematic of the reaction is based on, well, we always have a lot of people who say, oh, you know, we need coaches to be more honest and to answer questions honestly. And to me, Jim Harbaugh was 100% honest there in his answer. And look, I've been very critical of Harbaugh in terms of the amount of attention he's garnered despite not winning very much. But when you look at that quote, I mean, I think it's 100% accurate. You know, Jim Urban Meyer is a star that burns brightly, right? With his success also comes a commensurate amount of difficulty off the field and tumult. And I mean, that's been the case for the last 15 years or so of his career. Didn't necessarily happen at Utah or Bowling Green, but he was only at each place for 2 years. But I think everything that has followed at Florida and everything that has followed at Ohio State has been the same kind of story surrounding Urban Meyer. Guy wins at a high level, but what leads to his success often creates a crumbling foundation. And I think we saw it happen in both Florida and Ohio State.
Zone Summer Box Office is open right now. Be caller number 5 for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Moe and Blues Traveler at Ascend Amphitheater on Friday, August 2nd. Again, caller number 5 to 737-ZONE, 737-0663, can win a pair of tickets courtesy of the Zone Summer Box Office to Moe and Blues Traveler at Ascend Amphitheater. Clay, you're right. Zero interesting things were said at SEC Media Days this week. One thing, though, that jumped out to me was the tone of the coverage around Alabama and the credit and compliment it is to Nick Saban in Alabama that media members are treating Alabama like they had some giant fall because they lost ugly in one game in a national championship game, and how Alabama is being completely reconstructed because of that one loss. That is such a compliment to Nick Saban in Alabama that it's being covered that way.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it's a testament to Alabama's dominance. I mean, I think prior to, and I don't remember the stat now, I had it back then, you know, it's not just that Nick Saban has won, it's that he's almost never been blown out. I mean, I think the stat is that since he lost, and I'm looking at crack research stat to confirm this, but I think at the SEC, he has only lost one game by double digits, going all the way back, if I'm not mistaken, to when Stephen Garcia and South Carolina beat them like 35-14, I feel like was the score, and it was like in 2009. So in almost a decade, every loss that Nick Saban has had in the SEC, I believe, has been by single digits. So I think it wasn't just that they lost to Clemson. You know, they lost to Clemson a couple of years ago on the catch in the end zone with 1 second left or whatever it was, and the comeback that Clemson brought to bear there. And that's kind of the way that Nick Saban and Alabama's teams have lost. We haven't really seen them get boat raced like they did by Clemson. And so I think people are trying to figure out, is this an aberration or is this a sign of more significant issues going forward?
We got Clay Travis with us. So, Clay, you've long been, you know, you've talked about it in your book. You've talked about it on air about ESPN getting overly political. They've stepped back from that now. Now they have Dan Le Batard complaining about the inability to be political. I don't know if it's necessarily complaining about that, but we'll talk about that Dan Le Batard rant when we come back. But first, Clay, tell us about Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert.
Yeah, I know it's hot. As you said, it's like running around with a jacket on top of your head right now. But I'd also often means in the city of Nashville, it's also a hot time to buy a home, and it is. No matter what part of the neighborhood you might be looking to move into, no matter what part of the city you live in, everybody knows how competitive it's become to get the right home at the right price in Nashville. And right now, it's important to go to thehomeloanexpert.com. In as little as 5 minutes, you can be hooked up, have a mortgage taken care of. It's not an overwhelming process, even if it feels like one. And you can have all the ammunition you need to make sure you can win a battle to buy the home of your dreams now before school starts back. Maybe you're looking to move into a new neighborhood, new school district. I know this is the time of year when everybody goes out and looks, and you need to have the right mortgage. Plus, the rates have collapsed of late. They are at near lows historically. 30-year mortgage down around 3.75%. You can also consider refinancing, but most importantly, you need to have the ammunition to get the homes of your dreams.
Oh, I've got Matt Jones at Kentucky Sports Radio all over me on Twitter. Someone tweeted saying that I had a problem with him wearing Kentucky logos on Radio Row. And someone tweeted that to him, and Matt Jones said, that would really bother me if I knew who he was. That's the flea. That's the sound of the flea. Who is Matt Jones? Well, Matt, who I am is a host of a radio show who's finished about 6 spots higher than you in the national rankings, if you'd like to check that out. Clay Travis joins us right now from Fox Sports Radio from Outkick the Coverage. Clay, you're buddies with Matt Jones. What do you think when Matt Jones and his crew roll up in Kentucky jumpsuits from the 90s at SEC tournament in Nashville?
I think that if you're a media member, you shouldn't wear the gear unless you're a you know, you're calling a game for a school, right? Even then, I think it's a little bit strange. But unless you're an employee of a school, I don't think you should be wearing gear in the press box. I mean, I don't do it. Like, there have been times you may even be aware of this. Like, I changed clothes before I went into the press box, right? Where, like, I have spent the day tailgating and hanging out around Knoxville, maybe wearing, like, an orange shirt or a Tennessee shirt. And then when it comes time for kickoff, I think it looks ridiculous if I show up, like, in a, you know, Tennessee gear. Because it's hard.
You got a Heath Shuler jersey on rolling up to the press box.
Like a Heath Shuler tearaway jersey, or back in the day, Peyton Manning jersey or whatever it is. Like, I think it's hard to argue, hey, I'm trying to give an objective opinion when you're in the gear of a team that you're watching play. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't know what exactly the rules are, but, I don't recall very many times being in a press box at Neyland Stadium or, frankly, a press box of any SEC football stadium where I've been around.
You haven't, but it's
to basically all of them. I don't remember seeing people, you know, in Florida Gator gear or LSU Tiger gear or anything else who are members of the of credentialed media.
Jones has done it. That's the one time I can think of people doing it is any Kentucky basketball game at Bridgestone Arena, and Kentucky fans will defend that, but they would hate it if any other team did it. I've seen him wear Kentucky logos and polo shirts to the games. Now, look, he's making a lot of money, I'm sure, pandering to Kentucky fans, and I don't mind that because there's a market for it, and there's a market for it with every big fan base. But I'm with you on, if you're going to be in the press box, don't show up looking like a trainer for the team.
Yeah. I mean, look, and there are lots of times, look, I would rather sit in the crowd than be in the press box for that exact reason.
Yes.
Like, if I'm a fan, I'm a Titans ticket holder, I could go and sit in the Titans press box for all the Titans games if I wanted to. But I want the Titans to win, and I don't want to have to, like, sit in the press box. And, you know, one of the big rules of the press box is you're not supposed to cheer. And I mean cheer, like, in the context of, like, you're rooting aggressively for one team, not, like, you're a natural sports fan, and when a great play happens, you kind of sit back and you're like, wow, right? I mean, like, you're cheering for one particular team to win. I don't enjoy that experience, right? Like, I would rather sit in my season tickets with my kids and cheer for the Titans to win than I would sit in the press box. And I wouldn't sit in the press box in, like, a Titans polo and cheer for the Titans. I think that would be kind of a really weird thing for me to do. And, you know, I think most people listening to us right now would say that they understand the distinction between those two things, right? Like, I'm not pretending that I don't root for Tennessee to win games, or that I don't root for the Titans to win. But also, that doesn't mean that, you know, like, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool homer who would sit in the press box in their gear. I think most people understand the difference between those two distinctions.
So, Clay, Dan Le Batard on his show went on a bit of a rant, calling ESPN, his network's relatively new politics-free stance, quote, cowardly. And he said, and this is a direct quote, talking about the send her back and go back to your country chance. He said, if you're not calling it abhorrent, obviously racist, dangerous rhetoric, then you're complicit. He went on to talk about Jemele Hill stepped out there and eventually basically got demoted and then fired from ESPN and called his own company stance cowardly. You've talked a lot about this, and I know you've also talked about Jimmy Pitaro, who took over at ESPN, and the new direction ESPN is going. Do you expect something to happen to Dan Le Batard after these comments?
Well, first, it's great for him, right? I mean, there's oftentimes a distinction between whether it's good for an individual's career and whether it's good for an overall brand, right? And there's oftentimes a lot of tension between those two things. What Le Batard did was put his bosses in an untenable situation, because if they suspend him or take action against him for violating the rules of his employment, then they look like the bad guy, right? And he becomes a martyr and a hero to people who have the same political persuasion as him. If they do nothing, then effectively they are saying that the policy that they have spent so much time on, which is ESPN isn't a political network, we shouldn't be commenting on a regular basis on politics when people are tuning in expecting to hear us talk about sports, then it's basically saying that that policy has no power behind it because it can be defied by talent, and we're setting the precedent that we don't do anything to those talent, those on-air talent when they take those positions. So I am fascinated by the dilemma that this creates. I agree with Jimmy Pitaro. I mean, look, he says the data reflects that, that people don't tune into ESPN to hear, ESPN people have the latest take on the world of politics. And whatever you think about Dan Le Batard's opinion, there are thousands of political prognosticators who have said effectively the exact same thing as him. So I don't know why on ESPN airwaves and on ESPN radio, they would want that to be a focal point of what they're talking about. I think again, Pitaro is a businessman and he has said that it is bad for business to aggressively move into politics. And I'll say this, you know, by and large, when I do my Fox Sports radio show, I don't really talk about politics, right? Unless it directly intersects with sports like the U.S. women's soccer team or something like that, or even Colin Kaepernick's protest back in the day. But when I do talk about politics or write about it, I do it on my own platforms. So I have a website, Outkick the Coverage, outkick.com. I write about whatever I want on that website because it's my business and I control it. I do an Outkick the Show on Periscope and Facebook. That is my business and I control the content that's on there. But when I go on FS1 Daily, it's not like they're like, hey, Clay, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? And then I say, before I tell you that, let me tell you exactly what I think about American immigration policy.
Which would be an amazing flex by you if you did that.
Yeah, right. But I think there's a big difference between using the platforms that you own, which is perfectly fine. And one of the reasons that I created Outkick to share my opinion on a variety of different issues, if people decide they want to go and read it or listen to it, versus using a platform that I'm being employed to talk on via television or radio where they want me primarily to talk about sports. And so I think what Le Batard did is more significant than what Jemele Hill did, because it's not like Jemele Hill came on SportsCenter and she was like, in the big news today, you know, Tyreek Hill is not going to be suspended for the incidents that happened off the field. But before we get into that Tyreek Hill news, let me tell you what I think about the president's new policy as it pertains to detaining people trying to cross the border illegally. You'd be like, whoa, wait, like record scratch moment. So I think Twitter is kind of an interesting middle ground where, you know, you own that platform and you can theoretically talk about anything you want, but it maybe reflects upon you. So my position has been that, look, on Twitter or Facebook, I think everybody should have the right to say whatever they want, regardless of where they are employed. But when you are on the platforms provided by ESPN or Fox or CBS or NBC, I think unless there's a direct intersection between sports and politics, most people just want to get away from the serious things going on in the world and would rather hear you talk about sports-related issues.
So here's my thoughts on this with Jimmy Pitaro in this stance by ESPN. I agree with him, and I think, Clay, you said, you know, the data would reflect that people who watch ESPN don't
ratings
want...
Ratings were going... The data yes. reflected that ratings were declining in a substantial fashion and that the overall ESPN brand was being connected to politics, particularly left-wing politics, and that was not good for...
Let me jump in there, Clay, on this, because... This is what they've done. Even when the Megan Rapinoe stuff was going on, I didn't see or hear a lot about that on ESPN. They covered the U.S. women's national team. They avoided that for the most part.
Yeah.
But I don't think that – let me give you an example. You talked about the whatever's perceived as left-wing politics or left politics. Let's say that they talked about some political issues, but it was more moderate to right. Do you think if they did that, they would have a lot of sports fans turning away from ESPN? I don't think it's anything political. I think the biggest thing is sports fans that a lot of times are moderate to conservative to right wing have a problem with what they perceive as left-wing politics. It's not just don't talk politics. It's don't talk politics that I disagree with. That's the issue with a sports fan.
I think there's an element to that, but I don't know that, say, like Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith, that you want to turn that on and see them debating immigration policy.
No, I agree with that. You turn to a different network for that.
Yeah, and so what Levitard did, I think, that is such a slap in the face to the president of the network and also to the overall brand, is it's good for him, right? Because he gets all the praise from people who agree with him. And if they punish him, he becomes a martyr. But there was nothing sports related with his opinions about Donald Trump's feud with the four congressmen, right? Like, and so I don't know that there's very many people who listen to ESPN radio and turn it on and they're like, you know what I really need to hear right now is Dan Levitard's opinion on Donald Trump's political rally in North Carolina. What Pitaro has tried to do is say, if, you know, politics intersects with sports, then we will cover it, but we're not going to go out of our way to just randomly be firing off political opinions. And again, I think there's a distinction in my mind between Jemele Hill going on her own Twitter feed and calling the president a white supremacist, which I don't think was smart for her, and I certainly don't think was good for ESPN's brand, but it's her own Twitter feed, as opposed to going on SportsCenter and saying something. Like, Levitard went on the radio show, which airs on an ESPN property, and just basically used it as an opportunity to share his own political opinions on something that doesn't have anything to do with the world of sports.
Clay Travis joins us every Friday here on the Midday 180. It's brought to you by The Home Loan Expert, thehomeloanexpert.com.